Now, a quick word from our sponsor. Swanee's is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says, I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swanee's side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and designs sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swanee's is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swanees.co. You are now listening to Pull Hook Golf, an unfiltered golf podcast taking you inside the ropes with unfiltered stories, insights, analysis, and exclusive interviews.
Ooh, no intro today, Bobby. Welcome back, everybody, to Pull Hook Golf, the podcast. We had a technical difficulty there, but we're live, so screw it. We're just going to rock and roll with it, Bobby. Here we go. This is episode number 85 of the Pull Hook Golf podcast, and we are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, where Bobby and I were today. My goodness gracious, Bobby had me come inside the ropes with him and SH Kim. We had his agent out there, Danny O. We ended up getting teamed up a little bit on the back nine, well, front nine technically, with good old Kevin Streelman. We had Scott Harrington. Whew, I ran into Lance Bennett today as well, Bobby. What do you think about that? He was asking. He's like, when are you going to have me back on the pod?
Well, because we only got 752 views, Lance. Shut up. You ain't coming back, and you're working for Austin Smotherman now. He fired my
son. Oh, no. Oh, drama.
Sorry, Lance. I know Lance listens to this. I should have said that. There's no editing tonight.
Drama already. Fun day today. By Bobby Brown. Bring in the heat. Yeah. So let's start off with today, Bobby, with kind of talking about the Shriners Children's Open in Las Vegas at TPC Summerlin. And, man, the course was in great shape. I mean, greens are a bit firm.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts out there?
Yeah, greens are getting firm. You know, I don't really have a lot of thoughts, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was what I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's the same. I was trying to copy that coach. They were who we thought they were going to be. But it just, I was a little surprised that, you know, it was, those greens were holding like they were early, you know, early in the morning. So obviously you're going to be able to get it a little bit, you know, if first thing in the mornings before it starts firming up. I don't really know what to think. I mean, that's standard for out there. The one thing that we've had in the past is super firm and fast, but as we both know, that place was totally regrassed 2 years ago. So the fairways aren't quite moving yet. They were moving a little bit. I mean, I don't need to tell you anything, bro. You were out there for 18. You were out there for
I know. I feel like I could do the course breakdown and analysis for everybody today. I mean, course is in great shape.
Listen, take care. Yeah, take care of the par fives. You know, it's standard. Take care of the par fives and hit that little run from 14 home that you can play in anywhere from 3 to 5 under. I mean, you probably, you know, there's no such thing as an easy golf course, right? I mean, even though everybody's, you know, the cut can be 5 or 6 under here as it has been in the past. You know, it's not easy for everybody, right? I've been on both sides of it. I've had numerous top tens out here. I've had guys miss cuts out here that were fantastic players. And you just, you know, you probably saw today, you got to keep it in the fairway, right? These greens, if you don't keep it in the fairway, there's plenty of obstacles out there. You know, as you saw today, there's, you know, quite a few desert holes, and there's the Bermuda is not super, super long and that kind of stuff, but you know, as you saw, you got to protect against jumpers. Obviously, you saw we got a jumper, the pretty good jumper there on number.
Yeah, what hole was that?
What was that, Matt? Three today from the right rough. I mean, he flew a, you know, we're meters for anybody that doesn't know. So that's 9% difference than yards. But we flew, that was number three, flew an 8-iron, almost 190 meters, I think, 189, 190 meters. And, you know, those, you can see what we do. It's a test run, right? It's a test run. You can see how, you know, he goes about his business, but it's a test run. And I like to see a couple different clubs off of certain tees. You heard me and him talking back and forth about club selections and we're just going over strategy, and, you know, it's a test run, Matt. We're seeing how far the irons fly. You know, here is Summerlin's 2,700 yards worth of elevation, which when it's chilly in the morning, the ball doesn't really go that far. But when it starts warming up, you got to get an idea on, you know, when you're stepping to 5, 6, 7, 8, and sometimes even 10% out there if it's a club that's going to get up in the air and got a little wind behind it and it's really, really hot. But that's a big test run that we do on Mondays, is we'll sit there once he gets fully warmed up and it warms up a little bit. You heard me talking to him today when he was pulling clubs about, yeah, I would rattle off five numbers. Hey, this thing flew, you know, 178, 176, 74, 75, 76. So we're pretty educated on how far it's going to fly, but you got to take it out to the golf course and test it. And it's just a trial run. I mean, you saw how he's pretty focused out there. There's not a lot of talking. He's, as you found out, he's super nice.
He's got a good little sense of humor. Man, he was busting your balls out there a little bit. And I will say this, everybody, he does have an advantage this week because he had a personalized GC quad carrier out there, which was me. My right arm is absolutely massive right now. I feel great about it. I feel like I gave him the competitive edge.
So somebody that's just a regular golfer that listens to this and is not familiar what Matt's talking about, a GC quad is a small computer, carryable computer that tracks all kinds of data, spin rate, carry distance. It's you know, it has elevation in there already and everything that he wants to know. And it comes in quite handy. And Matt was our guy. Matt was part of Team SH Kim today because our agent, Danny O, was busy taking care of you. So last week he usually runs through his 60 degrees every three tournaments, every four tournaments. So I told Aaron Dill, who is the Vokey, who makes the Vokey wedges for us, I'm like, hey, we're going to need a fresh 60 Monday morning, you know. So he went home after we missed a cut last week. We'll talk about last week a little bit later. But he went back for a couple of days, left his Gamer 60 that we were going to replace. And he always has a backup 60 with him too, because he doesn't like to hit too many bunker shots with the fresh face, you know. So he'll use the backup so it doesn't get ground in too much. So anyways, that club was supposed to be here. It didn't show up at FedEx yesterday. Usually they make them on the trailer for everyone to know. They make them on the trailer, but Aaron was home in Carlsbad last week, made it at the factory at Vokey's at Titleist, you know, sent it out in the mail. So we couldn't figure out why it didn't show up. Was it Columbus Day? Was Columbus Day a holiday for FedExpress? And then his agent told us that he thought it was because technically FedEx thinks that TP Summerlin is closed on Monday, so they didn't deliver anything. So I don't know what the deal is. Finally, we ended up getting the wedge. But my point, I'm rambling about this, is Danny O, when the agent's in town, he's using my GC quad carrier because I'm not fucking carrying a 45-pound golf bag.
And did I take Danny's job today?
Matt just described.
Oh.
Yeah, you did, but I don't think you were paid as well. I don't think you were paid as well as Danny is. But, you know, for that thing, as you know, it's not light. It looks like it's light, but it's not light. You know, I think there's one caddy out here that does that, and that's Austin Kaiser Zander's caddy. He's kind of a, you know, studly kind of, you know, ripped kid.
Wait, so he carries the bag and the GC quad at the same time?
Yeah, he does. I see him carry it all the time. And then a guy like Akshay carries, he still has a TrackMan, but I noticed that he at least carries it in between shots for his caddy, because that's a lot. You can see I'm doing a lot of it's weird to say that he's got the easy job for on Tuesdays. He's got the easy job. I got the hard job, as you saw, right? Because I'm out there running my ass off. I'm planning four pin positions from the previous year. You know, I'm chasing him around. Yeah, what's your average on how many chip shots you think he hits a green?
Per green is easy 20, because right? It was, I would say it was probably around 20, 25 at least.
Yeah. So you can see he puts in a lot of effort to short game. And honestly, you know, I think I've said in previous episodes, I think he should putt a little bit more, but he's been putting fantastic, you know, and he reads greens fantastic. And you know, you can just see it's a lot of work out there. I'm pretty tired. I'm pretty tired from rambling, Bob, right now too. What's your take on the day? What did you learn?
You know what I learned is your job. Your job is a lot harder than I thought it was, because especially during the practice round, I didn't realize how much work. Obviously, I knew that. Obviously, you're kind of mapping out the course. You're doing some strategy work out there. You're kind of calibrating in terms of numbers, as far as how far is he hitting it at what times, and as well as, I mean, kind of figuring out the numbers of how far things are carrying, because like you said earlier, you're at elevations here in Vegas. So one of my biggest takeaways, though, was just the amount of shots around the green that he hits and a lot of the bunker work that goes in, because that's where you're in the bunker, you're raking, you got to go scramble, get golf balls, you got to roll them back to them. I mean, I didn't even want to get in the way or ruin the flow that you guys have, because it is, it's kind of like a little bit of a science that you guys have down already. I know you haven't even been together all that long, but it seems like you guys have gelled so nicely, especially with the little jabs he was throwing your way throughout the day. I mean, he doesn't, it's not a ton of English, but you can tell when he's messing with you. And that's what's great. That little banter between the two of you is phenomenal. And just the, I will also say this, when you are by yourself out there, I feel like it's almost zen-like, like it's very peaceful. And that was the one thing because he go, because SH asked me, he's like, what you think? I'm like, zen, very zen out here in the morning by ourselves. And it's like, you can just lock in and focus. And I could tell that you guys were dead serious, locked in. And that's where I think a lot of the preparation obviously takes a toll on you. Now I understand why sometimes you are tired on Tuesdays.
But Tuesdays are the, Tuesdays are the hardest days. But when you work for a guy like that, that you get along with and you like being, I think that's the key to a good caddy player combo. You want to hang out with somebody that's a long day. You know, that's 40, 30, 45. Matt, what time did we got? We got into a car at 5:45 this morning. We got to the golf course at 5:55. You know, we grab a quick cup of coffee. We, you know, ate a little breakfast. We waited on him, which is standard on Tuesdays. And, you know, we got the ball, you know, a little bit of a 20-30 minute warm-up session, which, you know, you notice there's not a lot of talking going on during that. You know, he's a 25, newly turned 25 year old. So they historically are not really early morning people. Like perhaps you and I are early morning people just due to age and everything that goes with that. But it's, you know, it's a long day, and I didn't leave there till, you know, 3:30. So that's, you know, that's a, it's a good solid 10-hour day. But I will say this, like he says to me sometimes, he goes, you okay? Is this too much? And that kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, I want to be part of the journey. You know, I want to be part of your ride to where you're going and play an integral part in that. And I don't want to be sitting in a hotel room all day long anyways, especially in Vegas. Right?
I could tell you're invested. You know, you're invested in him. You're invested in the process.
Yeah, well, you got
to. And you know what else I learned today?
You got to be. And as far as
I learned how much value somebody like yourself has because of a Tuesday, to where you've done it so long and you've done it for top players, to where there is a different vibe. And I will just say, like, once we were with other players and everything, and even watching some other groups and so forth, you can see the difference. You can see that you are all business when it comes to, once you get up to the green, you are all over it. Like, you are more on it than I saw or in the groups that were around us. So I give you kudos on that, Bobby. You know, talking about the legend of Bobby Brown, it is growing.
Well, you mentioned how he likes to give me a little ribbing and stuff like that. He loves to fucking call me out if we don't agree on a club or something like that, you know. And I'm referencing number 16, the par five. You remember the par five there, the one over the one over the water, where he told us he rinsed two last year, made bogey, and he still finished fourth, right? And if he makes, you know, and I'm like, man, if you make birdie, because that hole is gettable, right? Obviously, that's gettable. You know, I heard on Lexi's interview today on her media that she said she went driver 3-wood into there. You just saw us go driver 6-iron, and I purposely was selling 6-iron to him. Because why? Because, you know, because you can't miss fucking short because of the little, you know, Nevada ocean right there, you know, and you can get just over the back. You know, chipping from the back, there's no bargain, that kind of stuff, but it's certainly not a penalty shot involved. And then you saw how he pulled that 7-iron out, you know, and that 6-iron landed exactly where I, you know, in that kind of scenario, a caddy wants it to land pin high or past the pin, you know.
Well, that's the veteran in you.
Want to get cut. You want to
that 100% is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just safe. And then, and you saw, and you noticed too, we had a five. There's nothing more aggravating for us as caddies and or players is a 5 mile an hour Mickey Mouse all over the block wind, right? Which is what you saw we had this morning. So I can never, usually I've been doing this for so long now, you can pinpoint the wind where to, almost to a point where you don't really need to throw grass. Throwing grass is part of his process for us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's like a go for two for him to hit step into his shot. I'll stand next to him and throw grass up and everything like that. But my point was, is did you love how you had to pull that 7 iron out? And it was absolutely the perfect club, which he probably knew, but he likes to give me a little, oh, what, you know? And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's like 1 meter. It's 1 meter. It's on the fringe.
He does. He will.
because you can't be short.
That's exactly it.
And that's what I said about, test runs there. You know, that's a perfect example. Is it the 6 or the 7? And after he hit both, you heard exactly what he said. He goes, okay, if it's the 6 from around this distance, it's a cut 6, you know, and if I'm going to hit a 7, it's going to be a hammer draw 7 that I know is going to cover. So, you know, it was fun to have you out.
That's Bobby, he looks good, man.
We like, as you saw, yeah, he does look good. I never really pay attention during a practice round. The only time I did pay attention in a practice round is if they're just putting on a clinic and they're stuffing it, and you're like, God, is this guy peaking too early?
But he was just fundamentally sound. He did, like, he was putting it in all the right places. Yeah. And obviously, it's a practice round, it's early, right? But his swing fundamentally just looks on the money. And I'm just sitting there, like, I haven't seen that many well struck golf shots in a long time. So that was fun to watch.
Well, we said it before. If you were a father and you had kids and you were going to teach them, you know, how to swing a golf club, you could throw a video up of him all day long and say, "Copy this," and you're going to play golf. You're going to play golf just fine. And remember, this is only his second year here. So I've been here, you know, double digit time. So I know I've seen everything, you know, a bunch out there. And we don't agree in tee shots. I certainly don't agree with him on 11 when he hit the little flare right, you know, into the right rough, which was our second hole. And he's like, "Oh, it's 3 wood." And I'm like, "Nobody hits fucking 3 wood here." But, you know, I didn't get confrontational with him about it. But you heard me mumble that to you when I was walking across the green. So he's not hitting fucking 3 wood down here. It's you pummel drive. You know, you can hit a little, you can get it 70 yards from that green as long as it's not that one pin that's 4 or 5 paces over the left bunker. If these things start firming up and then it, you know, all of a sudden it's a birdie hole. But you saw the key to these approaches out here on this golf course, which is 9 out of 10. You don't get above the hole if you can't, you know, if you're in between clubs, you stay below the hole. You know, it's funny. He never knew anything about, there's some people that I've been noticing on social media, like there's no tricks to playing certain golf courses and there's no poles. There's just the design of the green and that's it. But let me tell you something, you know, there is a pole towards the strat, you know, the stratosphere down on the strip. I've seen it. You know, at first when I came out here and people would tell me about that, you'd be like, okay, you know, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden you start reading putts over a few years and you're like, man, that thing, when it loses speed, it pulls down to the strat, to the strip, you know. And that's obviously, it doesn't take a genius to figure out behind you or the Red Rock Mountains or whatever they call them. But I was telling them today, and we were talking about some kind of putt that he hit was fast. And he's like, man, that's so fast. I go, it's going right to the strip, right to the strat. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, didn't Micah tell you? Did you and Micah, you know, talk about last year that putts going towards the strat, towards the strip that way can be a little bit quicker, you know, and because you're going away from the mountain too? And he's like, no, I never heard that before. And I'm like, well, try this putt. And he had a couple putts and he goes, oh, but I've seen it over the years. I've seen it over the years on that side of the golf course that's closer to the strip, that there's a definite pull. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be calling me in for too many putts this week because he's been, you know, obviously putted great at Napa. He didn't putt great on Thursday last week, but he was second in the field on putting on Friday. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, we're number 60, as you know, and 51 through 60 is a big, huge thing. You know, there's guys that are trying to keep their card. We're trying to get into Pebble Beach and Riviera for the two big $20 million no cut, give out a lot of money and maybe get some instant fame tournament. So we got a lot to, we got a lot to play for this week for sure. And then next week, as you know, we're going to Japan. And then I think the plan is to shut it down unless we need to add a tournament, which is possibly Cabo or Sea Island, which is the third week of 15th through 19th of November, which of course my man Riker has a big old soccer tournament up in Greenville. So, you know, I would really like to get off to a good start here and see if we can't replicate what he did last week and maybe have a chance to win on Sunday. But you got to have a lot of things go your way. You know, he's got, you know, he spends a lot of time chipping for a reason, you know, because that is the, you know, as you know, that is the big difference between some tour players and other tour players. And he's been working really, really hard on his wedges. You know, I've raved about a short game coach out here, Josh Gregory, who lives in Dallas. And, you know, he went to Dallas in some off weeks and he had Josh for a half day session, a couple hours the next day. And Josh gave him a plan. Just like I told you, he's got a putting plan when he practices putting. And now we're doing wedge numbers where we start at, you know, short numbers where we start at 40 and go all the way up to 130. And you have to hit the number plus or minus two before you can advance to the next one. And now he's blowing through it, you know. And, you know, I was complaining about that around the John Deere and that kind of stuff that I thought, you asked me, like, what's the weakness of his game? And I thought it was the wedge game. And now I can slowly see that turn into a strength of his game because in Napa, he hit his wedges great. You know, as I mentioned, we missed a cut by shot in Jackson last week, but he hit his wedges great. And, you know, and let's just go, man. Let's go, SH. Fuck,
for sure.
Go, dude.
If he makes some putts this week, he's going to be dangerous out there.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be tough. Well, I mean, it's always good. It's always good when you know a guy's – it's always good for a player when they know that when they had a good finish the year before because they're stepping into Thursday with some confidence and they know the golf course and they've had nothing but really positive feedback. And, you know, that's something that we have in our corner, which a lot of guys do have played good out here. But this is – you know, you're going to have to get to – I don't even know what Tommy Kim was last year, to tell you the truth. And I know you're not in – you know, we're doing this live from Vegas, so I know you don't have your – screens to pull up, but you're going to have to make a lot of birdies this week. I think that cut went to 6 under last year, which is crazy, right? 6 under. I mean, think about it. You're like, man, I just played, you know, 5 under 2 days. I didn't make a lot of putts, but I didn't play horrible. You know, I don't deserve to make that cut, this cut. So, you know, to miss this cut, but you know, we're going to have to see how it goes. You got to make birdies. Everybody likes to get, you know, you get on those little momentum rolls right off the bat, right? And if you can get off those momentum rolls, get them going. And obviously, you know, there's a couple really good holes out there. Like 3 is a really good hole where he got that jumper, you know, and you kind of do what you can do on the front side. And I think you can really, really, really get it on the backside. I feel like that's the side that you can really score. 10, as you know, we spent a lot of time talking about that 10 tee shot because that tee shot first thing in the morning is I've seen anywhere from hybrid to driver there. So that's why we were having such a lengthy discussion. But, you know, if you were really paying attention to the conversation, what he was trying to tell me was he doesn't like 3 wood there when I was selling him to hit 3 wood in the middle bunker. If you can interpret what he's saying to me when he asked a caddy 2 or 3 times, but I wanted him to hit 3 wood just because I knew that 3 wood wasn't going to get through at that hour of the morning. But it's quite simply when you get out there and you look around and you see him, you watch him, he's always taking notes, right? And he's writing stuff down. He's a borderline perfectionist. Like, I haven't worked for a lot of players where they want front edge numbers or anything specific on a Tuesday, but you notice he really wants the numbers. Like, we have argued before about what, not elevation, but about slope, right? Like our yardage books have slope built in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards uphill and or downhill. But for some reason, he likes the lasers numbers better. You know what I mean? Where I'm trying to explain to him. I'm like, listen, I am 6 foot, almost 6'4". If I shoot a flag and you shoot a flag at your height, there's going to be a difference of a meter or two just from the angle perspective, you know. But we, you know, I will tell you that we've played holes in the last couple of weeks where they say they're 8 or 9 yards uphill, you know, and he's like, that's, I'm not playing that. Let's make it 4. So we'll make a deal and make it 4. And, you know, look, he's one of the best players. He's, you know, in the top 115, 120 in the world. And he's been really good for a while at a young age now. So there's no reason for me to bicker about that anymore. I just want to, you know, we get a pretty much of, that's part of our game plan too. What are we going to play this up? What are we going to play this down? Just tiny little thing, you know, it's tiny little things like that. But you got to, when you saw him get in the middle of the 10 fairway, you know, he does a 360 in those fairways. He's a professional golfer, right? He is absolutely looking at where he needs to hit it. So, you know, it's either you push driver down the right, which is sketchy to me because if you block something, I don't know if you notice right of those trees, the path comes up. It's very firm over there. It's always firm there under those trees. And there's a bunch of, you know, they almost look like gorse bushes, you know, mini gorse bushes up there. I've had guys hit it in that hedge. Their hedge is up there. So, you know, there's a few tee shots you got to pay attention to. So, man, I'm ready to go. We got one more day of practice. We're not in the pro-am tomorrow. So, you know, we will grind for about 3 or 4 hours, nothing serious. And then, as you know, we have a later tee time close to 1 o'clock on Thursday, which I was, you heard me talking this morning. I'm like, man, I hope we get the Thursday morning draw because it's supposed to be windy on Thursday. And now I looked at the wind when I got back again, you know, and I'm like, wow, it's supposed to be maybe windier in the morning when it's cold because we got a cold front coming, you know, that wind will be coming straight out of the north or north northeast, which is a little chilly here. And then we're not going to get much wind for 3 days. So, you know, have a good solid round on Thursday. And then you got to do some scoring Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this course is designed to do some scoring. But I noticed, you know, when we finished and we walked on the putting green, did you see Lexi there putting? There's a little buzz with Lexi there. It's no joke. You know what I mean? I have my opinions.
Let's get into those opinions, Bobby, because I didn't know. And I'm going to call myself out. I'm going to throw a penalty flag out there because Monday, I was at the Monday qualifier. I was hanging out for the most part, kind of watching some of the golf and everything. And all of a sudden in the shop, everybody starts talking about Lexi Thompson and that she's playing in this event and kind of getting opinions and stuff. And so yeah. I'm like, hang on a second, she's playing in this event. And all of a sudden the guy started erupting, laughing and everything. And I'm like, oh shit, like she's legit playing in this golf tournament. I've been living under a rock apparently because yeah. I didn't see anything about it. But what does that tell you? Does that tell you that the reason that she's in the tournament, like they say, is to sell more tickets? I don't think so.
Well, I think that, you know, I will say one thing about Lexi. She's my favorite LPGA golfer to watch.
I know. You do like Lexi.
LPGA event some years. I do. I've done one LPGA event some years ago, and it was the week she made the comeback after that brutal penalty she got at the major ANWA or whatever. And I watched her play golf for a couple of days and I'm like this, you know, and that was 4 or 5 years ago. She was probably maybe a little bit better then, or she was on a run, but I'm like, it sounds like a dude's hitting the golf ball. You know, it sounds like the way she compresses it sounds like a dude's hitting the golf ball. And I know her brothers, Nick and Curtis, pretty well. And, you know, I've met the dad and they're obviously a huge golf factory family. So I think the deal with her is, no, she'll sell a few.
You
more
think
tickets,
so?
You know, for sure. But there's a lot going on here in Vegas. Nobody comes to Vegas to go watch us play. Or, you know, they might get a few thousand fans out there. Nothing major. But I think that Lexi's reputation with kids and the way she handles pro-ams every Wednesday, you know, she goes to every single pro-am party, which is absolutely unheard of. It's just that I just feel like she's kind of a giver, if that, you know, she's not a taker. She's a giver. And I just think that this, with the children's, you know, with the children's hospital and the Shriners and all that kind of stuff, I just think that she was like, you know, maybe me, you know, playing golf would be a successful week for her, right? But I think it's more than that to Lexi. I think that she does it sound corny to say that she creates dreams, or there's kids sick that if they have a dream or something like that, that you can accomplish anything? Because look at her, she's playing in a PGA Tour event. I mean, do I personally think she's going to make the cut? Dude, she just hit 3 wood into 16 and we're hitting 7 iron in. So that's a huge advantage. And they asked her where your 3 wood landed. And she's like, oh, exactly pin eye, one hop way over the back. And, you know, that's what you're going to have to deal with. There's obvious differences between male and female golfers. You could go down the list. But one that people don't think about is our guys spin the shit out of it, right? They can spin the shit out of anything. And I don't think the women don't, you know what I mean? They play more of a run and release game if the conditions are like that. And I don't know if she, other than her, you know, she never won any U.S. Opens. She's been successful at U.S. Opens and had a chance to win a couple of them. But, you know, I think it's going to be a little tougher for her, obviously, hitting those longer clubs in and not being able to, you know, spin it or get it to hold like
Bobby, look at the comment here.
You know,
she should have had Bobby on the bag at Pebble this year. Run PMC.
Mook? Is that Mook?
No, I don't believe so.
Run PMC. Okay. So here's the deal on that. I'm good friends with her agent, Brett. And for fucking 6 months, I was off that week. I was texting him. 6 months. This is no joke, Run PMC. I'm like, dude, you don't want to go, I'm the fucking man at Pebble Beach. But I wanted to say, I'm the fucking man at Pebble Beach. And I've always had this dream is that I'm like, not a dream, but a daydream. So I'm like, God, I would love to win a U.S. Open with Lexi, you know. And he never got back a hold of me. But blood is thicker than water. Her brother Nick has played good, played on tour for a long time. He's been at Pebble Beach a lot. And she's, you know, maybe this wasn't the year to work for Lexi, because, you know, she's only played 13 times this year, right? She's had three good tournaments in a row. I think maybe a second, a fifth, and a 19th 3 weeks ago. But Lexi Thompson only made 2 of 10 cuts before that. And obviously she was great in the Solheim Cup. I think she went 3-1. Everybody's just going to remember that the cup stayed with the Europeans, and she shankled that chip shot. You know, that's all anybody's going to remember. But Lexi Thompson is Lexi Thompson. But I guess what I was getting at was we knew as long as 2 weeks ago that she was getting in. The public didn't know. And the reason why we know is because with sponsors exemptions, when you've been out here for a while, you're friends with certain players and caddies who may share an agent with somebody else. So you got an idea who's getting a spot. But I'm going to say this. I think, to be honest, it sucks for the first alternate, because whoever first alternate is probably not inside the top 125. And I just feel, I don't know, I feel like it kind of sucks for them that man, Lexi's playing, but I'm not playing. I don't have a chance. You know, this is one more opportunity to keep my status. And
it's, you know, tough.
It's funny that I'm gonna go on a little hate barrage. You know, I like my little hate barrages. So this hate barrage is dedicated to fucking Lisa Cornwell, who used to work on the Golf Channel. I don't know if you know who she is. She has the short crop hair. She does PGA Tour Live. Hate to say it, Lisa, but the reason why they hired you in the first place is because you check a box, so to speak. And I don't know if I can say that in 2023. But she started chiming some shit in on Twitter that I picked up yesterday, you know, and how do I say this the right way in 2023? She likes girls more than she likes boys, is what I'm going to say, if that makes any sense, if you can read between the lines. So she was talking shit, you know, about people hating on Lexi and that kind of stuff, you know, and that Lexi can handle it. Guys were saying, oh, she won't be able to handle the pressure, and you know, she's going to fold like a cheap. So, and she's like, I don't think you have to, you know, Lexi can handle pressure. So, of course, I had got sticky, itchy fingers. I had to start typing into this Lisa Cornwell bitch. And I'm like, listen, it's not, if anybody can handle pressure from the LPGA, it's Lexi, right? Hasn't she been through with she kind of gave away that US Open a couple years ago at Olympic Club, missing some putt. You know, she's having these 6 feet putts that, you know, pressure was kicking in, and she was leaving them a foot or 2 feet short. But I was pointing out to Cornwell, the genius, that I don't think it's so much the pressure that Lexi has to deal with this week. It's the competition that she's playing it this week. She's never seen competition like this, where guys are just going to pile drive a buyer. Some guys could hit a buyer 80, 90. You know, Luke Liss can hit a buyer 70, 80, 90 yards. My guy's going to hit a buyer, you know, in certain holes, 60, 70, 80 yards. And that is just that's a big hill to climb. But getting back on this Lisa Cornwell thing, you know, I fired that at her. And I told her, and I go, to be honest, you know, it kind of sucks. And I said it in a very polite way, which is strange for me. It kind of sucks that the first alternate, you know, a lot of tournaments will go down the list and go, okay, we're going to get this alternate a shot or whatever. We can't get so-and-so. And then she types back like she knows what. She's like, first, what did she say? Sponsors exemptions never, ever come from the alternate list. And that's when I lost my shit, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. Because technically, Charlie Hoffman and Nicholas Hojgaard, who just played on the Ryder Cup team, were way back on the alternate list, and they got sponsors invites. So she and a couple other of her riffraff chicks were piling on me, and she fired something at me, and I went to fire back, and the bitch.
Oh, Bobby, you're just getting blocked by people left and right, yeah. Which is why.
Well, you know what I told her? The final thing I told her is, you're a below average golf announcer. Stick to your specialty.
Wow. Wow.
And that was it. Period.
I mean, Bobby, tell me how you really feel, bud.
Well, I don't. I like people like that, Matt. I don't like people that are a little bit on the outside that act like they know how it happens on the inside when they really don't. You know, they really don't even have a clue, you know. It's great that you're announcing golf and that your girlfriend's a pretty good LPGA player and that kind of stuff. But that doesn't make you an expert on everything that, you know, you probably know a hell of a lot more than I do on the LPGA. And I wouldn't be stupid enough to start popping off about something that I don't know about through trial and error in my past on doing that before. So anyways.
That's a big argument against it. I mean, there was a lot of talk around today around that fact that, you know, And yeah, and on the Monday qualifier day too, the it's taking a spot from guys' livelihoods. Yeah. And it's like, has it ever benefited the LPGA Tour or the PGA Tour to bring in one of the lady golfers? So like you look, Michelle Wee, Annika Sorenstam, now Lexi Thompson. I can't go through the list of everybody who's ever done it, but does it actually move the needle?
I think there's only been seven. I think, you know, at Colonial, it definitely did with Annika. Colonial, it definitely did. And that's a perfect golf course design for somebody like Annika. You know, she barely missed the cut there. It's not a bomb driver fest or anything like that. It's a strategic thinking golf course with very tight fairways, which, you know, Annika's used to playing on. But I don't know out here if it's going to move the needle. But I will tell you, after you left, you know, I watched her on the range. She was warming up and she was doing a ton of media. There's 8 or 10 cameras around her. You know, she's doing a bunch of interviews. And I just felt like, oh, this is kind of cool now. I'm at the kind of cool stage, you know, because obviously if I was the caddy, you know, sitting around all day Thursday with the first alternate, wondering if anybody was going to WD because you got to wait it out for two waves to make sure everybody makes their tee times, I would not have the same opinion. If you rolled it back to last fall before everything changed, where the fall didn't make that much of a difference other than a head start for guys that don't have super status, I thought it was a no-brainer. It would be awesome to bring her into something like that, you know, or, you know, bring her in later at the year at some iconic golf course that sells where a bunch of people go to, you know, where that's just loaded, where people just, it's a big golf area, Florida, North Carolina, something like that, you know, somewhere in the South, maybe even California, she'd sell a bunch of tickets. But I don't think she's here. I don't think the Shriners were behind the whole, she's going to generate us revenue. You know, I think it's more for the dream factor that somebody can chase their dreams and probably do it. Ask me if I think she's going to make the cut. No, I really don't think she's going to make the cut, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think it would be awesome if she did. But, man, this tour is 132 guys in this field, 131 guys in this field, and all 131 of them can play. I mean, you mentioned the Monday qualifier out of your guys' course at Spanish Trails.
Yeah,
Spanish
Trails. No, Trail. Spanish, no Trails S yesterday. On the end.
And
I know, it jammed me up, Trail, too.
Excuse me. You know, it's just, you know, Andrew, no, 9 under, you know, what did you, did not the sixes didn't
no,
get
the,
in, did
the
they?
Sixes seven, got bounced sixes by were, the last guy, one of the last groups in. I forget his name, Tim something. Yeah. Timmy was what everybody was calling him. But he ends up coming in. He needed one more birdie coming in on the final two holes, and he got it. So he came in, bumped all the sixes out.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you got Stein. So your guy, you know, Spencer Levine, we got to give a quick little shout out here because
we love us.
he was not in a great mood. I was waiting for him to come in, and I wanted to say hi and, you know, tell him that you said hi. And sure enough, he came in and was not in the right mood for that conversation or for a hi.
Well, you're good. You could be a good caddy then, because you obviously have
body language. Big time, really, because good, but, he was.
You told me the story that he got in at 5 under. It looks like the 6 unders were going to play at that point. There weren't very many groups left on the golf course. And you said he made a sloppy bogey, got unlucky at a car path. It went out of bounds, made bogey on probably a pretty.
It was a gettable par five, Bobby. You know, so, I mean, that's a birdie hole that most of the guys birdied. And sure enough, I mean, he was 6 under. That would have put him at 7 under.
Yeah, so that's the difference of Stein playing. But I will still do a couple things about Stein. Stein Mondayed into this the last 2 years, and I believe he's made the cut both times, so he's very familiar with this golf course. Stein also flew all night on Sunday. Now, you remember he just played Sunday at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, and he played terrible. He played back of the pack. He won this year, did not get his card. It was going to be a great story. You know, they had soupy bad weather there for the first couple of days in Evansville. And then he comes all the way over to, you know, almost the next coast over, pretty much. And, you know, not a lot of rest. And that's how those Mondays are. You know, it's a, you know, I'm going to drop the F-bomb, but it's a country fucking shootout. As you saw, Andrew Novak, 9 under. I think he turned in 5 under or something like that. 3 7-under pars. Those Mondays are brutal, man. You could go out and shoot 3 or 4 under and go, man, I didn't miss a shot today. you know, and you're packing your bag if you're in the first wave, because you know three or four under is not going to even come close to holding up. But that's my point, that these Monday qualifiers are shooting 7, 8, 9 under. That's how deep this field is. And this isn't a glorious field by any means. I mean, we got some big names, you know, Tommy Kim, your boy, and, you know, defending champ. We got some, it's a good, there's never a bad field on the PGA Tour. Some are just stronger than others, pretty much. So I don't know, man. I know she's going to play 2 days for sure. Whether she plays 4 days, I mean, we're in Vegas, and it's the town of gambling, and I wouldn't bet.
Oh, I was about to say, do you want to take her to make the cut? Because I will throw a penny bet down on that.
No, I'm down like $8 million. I'm like $8 million down to you. Why would I do that? Yeah, I'll take the end. That's it.
I can't do that. I'm not even going to give you that pity bet.
Gotcha. So that's my Lexi. That's my Lexi rundown. I think she's super cool. Her interviews sound really, she's very experienced with interviews, and she's very genuine too. Her lips aren't loaded, so to speak, with what to say. You know, I think everything comes from the heart, and she's very passionate, and she's a professional, you know, she works very hard. She said the reason, you know, something very simple. She wasn't telling anybody what it was, but she noticed, her team noticed something very simple with her golf swing that was a little bit off. She said she went and hit hundreds of golf balls until she got it right. And she said the last 3 weeks, it's you know, starting at the Solheim Cup, it's starting to show form. But, you know, it's not like I said, Lexi's been trying to win a bunch of golf tournaments on the LPGA, but she is on form. She is here. And I wish her the best of luck. I like the Thompsons. I like the
love
whole family.
Love that, Bobby.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that is the Shriners Children's Open. You got anything else to throw in there about the Shriners other than Tommy Kim being the past winner and now we got to get to our penny bet?
Let's get to our penny bet. Anybody can win. Anybody can win at the Shriners. It's happened before. I mean, you know, you get guys like Tom Kim and Patrick Cantlay that win. You've got guys like Kevin Na that's won. You've got a guy like Jonathan Bird who hoops one for a one on 17 to win. You know, you've got Martin Laird's one out here. Smiley Kaufman won out here. Oh, my God, that should tell you something. No disrespect, Smiley. But, you know, anybody can come out of the pack, and it's going to be a birdie fest. So, you know, you go
really?
First. Who are you picking?
I get first pick? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You go first. Does that mean I get first pick?
No, it doesn't. But I did win the Ryder Cup, but that was the team. It wasn't an individual. So I feel wrong about going first because there is a guy that, yeah,
okay,
you better
go
first because you know who I'm taking.
Okay. Well, I'm taking S.H. Kim.
Dang it.
Because I'm going to go down with him if he goes down. I'm on the same team. I knew you were going to take him too. You know, I knew you were going to take him. Fresh off of missing a cut by a shot.
I was telling everybody that I could see afterwards that, hey, you want to make some easy money this week? Go top 10 SH Kim, because that might be just easy money right there. I mean, knock on wood, but I will – I'll go with the guy that I saw at the last minute on the putting green today before I took off, Ludvig Åberg. Yeah.
All right.
Played well last week.
That's a good pick. Well, man. Yeah, we got – I mean, we all know about Åberg. We all know about Åberg. He's going to pop sooner or later. You know, he was in the playoff last week. So, you know, that's a good pick. My guy's going to have to play really good to beat him. My guy's going to have to play really, really, really good to beat him, because I don't see Ludvig Åberg beating himself. I haven't seen him beat himself yet. So,
well, game is on. So there's our penny bets. We got S.H. Kim versus – Ludvig Åberg. And now we did it kind of in reverse today, where we kind of started with, because of the experience of me being out there today at the Shriners with UNSH, we wanted to kick that off and obviously give a full analysis of the Shriners Children's Open, which, guys, if you've heard it once again, I mean, it is going to play very firm on the greens. It's a little bit softer in the fairways. And if you can roll and, well, if you're hitting the ball good, this is a gettable golf course. Obviously, the scores have been minus 20 or more. So it is definitely a gettable golf course. And if you miss it in the right places and then you roll in some putts, you got a real good shot out there this week. It's going to be ball control, really. But that being said, let's take a quick second, because I did in the beginning forget to touch upon one key thing here, which is for all of our Pole Hook Golf listeners and all 389 of you on right now, Swannies.co is our sponsor. 25% off your entire order at Swannies.co if you use the promo code PoleHookGolf25. I was out there today in my Swannies gear. Man, I felt great. I was nice. It was very airy and just the material was kind of silky. And I'm just like, oh man, I feel good. Bobby, how'd I look out there today? Did I at least like fit the role of like looking good out there?
You look like a you look like a professional quad carrier
today. I really appreciate that. I had the Travis Scott's on, the Air Jordans, and you know what? You're right. I didn't even have my shoes tied. So definitely professional GC quad carrier. That is my new title here on the show. I am no longer host. I am GC quad carrier. And I got to tell you, I felt like I was a big part of this. So if he plays well, that's fantastic. So little shout out to Swannies there. I mean, look at this hat, the hoodie, the whole nine yards, guys. So pay attention. Get yourself some Swannies golf gear, and certainly that helps support the show as well. So getting back to it, now let's talk a little bit about the Sanderson Farms that happened this past weekend, which ended in a nice little five ball. You don't get to see a five ball out there too often, and it's pretty cool when you do.
No. I told you, and I told some other caddies, I watched that, you know, I watched the finish pretty much the whole back nine from the leaders, and it was, man, pressure's a tough thing for guys that have never won out there, and for guys that have won too. But I nicknamed it the golf tournament nobody wanted to win, right? Because Ben Griffin started with a 3-shot lead, and somebody had told me, the guy that stayed with me for the weekend, but we call him Bambi. His name's Ron Levin. Bambi's a good friend of mine. He works for Carl Wan. He bogeyed the last to miss the playoff by a shot. But he said he was in the group in front of Ben Griffin on Saturday, and he was kind of driving it all over the place, you know. But he was getting up and down and making putts, which is what happens when you're leading a golf tournament by three. But man, I turned it on, and he was constantly in the trees, constantly getting a ruling. It looked like Henrik Norlander was going to put the squeeze on him, walking off the 13. He pumped one down the middle on a very, very gettable par five. There were a few eagles there late. And, you know, he whipped one in the hazard, the only place you can't hit, you know, the only place you can't hit it, makes a sloppy bogey on a pretty easy hole from down the middle. And, you know, it was just the tournament that nobody wanted to win. And I just chalk it up to nothing but absolute pressure. You know, you have Ben Griffin, who's never won a tournament. You have Henrik Norlander, who's been out here quite a while. He's never won a tournament. Carl Wan made an eagle on 17. He didn't. I was watching, of all the guys I was watching, Carl Wan was hitting it the best, but he wasn't getting anything out of it. You know, he had a bunch of 20 footers all day long, but he wasn't missing a lot of greens. You know, he got into contention by eagling 17, made a sloppy bogey on 18. Scott Stallings was in the playoff. He's won a couple times out here. He's no scaredy cat, I will tell you that. Scott Stallings is a guy that's going to have probably three or possibly four legitimate chances to win every year, and he is not afraid of the moment. Luke List obviously ended up bearing a 45 footer on the last hole of the first hole of the five man playoff. Luke List is, you know, won one time in the past, but he is also no scaredy cat out there. You know, he's a big thoroughbred super bomber. You think Ludvig Åberg was in the kind of backdoored into that playoff too. And who else?
I think you hit them all.
Did I miss?
No, you had Åberg, you had Luke List, Scott Stallings, you had Ben Griffin, and you had, Norlander was the guy who was going to win that one.
Well, I did when he was sitting in the middle of 14. It looked like, you know, on that par five, I'm like, geez, he's going to get 14. He's probably going to get an eagle look, or you can get a kick in birdie quite easily there on 14. And then 15 was playing downwind and the tees were up, and it's a very drivable hole. You know, so that's where you hit your little stretch. You try and get 14 and 15. 13 the hole before, you know, 13 is a little par three where you're hitting 9-iron or wedge into. It's nothing special, even though my guy found a way to bogey it on Friday by missing the green. But, you know, 16 is the toughest tee shot on the golf course. There's not just a hazard on the left. It's like a big swamp, and that's when you got to kind of suck it up. 17 you can get. 18 is not the easiest hole on the planet. But I was just, you know, if you had a sneaky microphone in my hotel room, you know, you would have heard me say, no, you didn't, like 18 different times. You know, Ben Griffin flaring one hard right into the trees under pressure when there's a hazard left. You expect a right miss, but you don't expect the I don't want to even say the ugliness, but it's just pressure. And it just, you know, it just goes to show you how hard it is to win out there. Five-man playoff could have been a six-man playoff if Carl Juan doesn't bogey the last hole from the first cut on the right side on 18 after making an eagle. And I was really pulling for him to win because I'm pretty good friends with Bambi and he was staying with me for the weekend. So I was kind of rooting for him. And he's a guy who won a British Open with Todd Hamilton, worked for David Duval for quite a while, and is a very experienced caddy who invested his money quite nicely and wisely and probably doesn't have to caddy. And he's an older guy and he has three little kids at home and he probably doesn't have to caddy if he doesn't want to be honest. You know, after he won the British Open, he was smart. You know, he went up to Copper Mountain up there and he bought two or three condos, ski in, ski out condos. That was smart. He owns a big piece of, do you remember Perky Jerky, that beef jerky that came out that had caffeine in it? I believe it was on a couple players' bags. It's in Whole Foods. But he owns a little piece of that. He has some theaters, his hand in a couple bars. And, you know, I was just like, man, here's a guy that's been, you know, won a British Open as a caddy, right? Like that. The pinnacle of anything caddying, and he just hadn't had luck for years and run through a few different jobs, and I was really hoping it was his time, but it wasn't that way. But good week for Carl Juan. You know, he was a force on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. He's no scaredy cat when he gets into contention. It just didn't happen very much this year, but that's a good thing about Sanderson Farms, right? I mean, it's, you know, people learn the names of guys that nobody would know much about Ben Griffin's story, that he quit golf 2 or 3 years ago. And he lost a loved one, I think his grandfather or something like that. And he just decided, I'm going to give it one more chance. And he's, you know, he's number 53 or number 54. He's pretty much going to play in probably those first two designated events if he just makes like one cut coming in or something like that. So it puts some new names up there, and, you know, it's golf and that golf course, I told you today, no disrespect to Jackson, Mississippi, but if that golf course is anywhere else but Jackson, Mississippi, you would hear so much about it because it's Bermuda from head to toe and it's super tight. There's water on or a hazard on almost every single hole. And remember I told you they hadn't gotten rain there for like 100 days, right? So when we showed up early in the week, it was soaking wet. They had just kept watering it and watering it and watering it. And I told you last episode, you know, Mackenzie Hughes won in a playoff. There's been quite a few playoffs at that golf course over the years. Gosh, I want to say almost every year they have a playoff there for some reason. But I told you that I didn't think the scores were going to get to 17 because I felt like they were going to let the golf course go and get firm and fast out of Bermuda with hazards. And there's some slopes in those fairways. And they just kept watering the piss out it the whole time. And those guys ended up being in the playoff. I mean, Griffin got to 21 under, I think 21 under. I think the playoff ended up being 18 or 19 under. But, you know, man, I don't know if we're going back there. The fall schedule is a little cloudy for next year. It would be a shame for that community and for Sanderson Farms and the millions they give to charity if we don't go back there. But I hope we do because it's little golf courses in little areas like that where, you know, it's not a ton of revenue that comes in, but it is some kind of revenue that comes into that city. And I'll miss it if we don't go back. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we do. I hope I never have to go back and caddy there because if your player doesn't play there, you've had a phenomenal year early in the year and you just don't need to go and play that one.
I mean, might be a change on the PGA Tour schedule that I was privy to listening into a conversation with some of the,
I know who you're talking about.
They're going to potentially be moving a tournament from the fall to Houston in the spring. Uh-huh. And tournament in the spring in Houston is a children's charity. So the speculation is that it might actually be the one that we're talking about before, the Shriners Children's Open.
Yeah, but possibly.
That would be a bummer to lose Las Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, it would. It's been a staple forever. I don't see – maybe it is going to happen. But
I kind of see Sanderson Farms being the one that they move.
Well, it's anything can happen. That's way above my pay grade. The players would be more privy to that information, and obviously the brass and Pontevedra definitely have an idea what's going on. But man, this has been a staple for a long time. I mean, you know, the players love coming here. You know, there's tons of them that have MGM Resorts is their big sponsor, Troy Merritt, Mark Hubbard. The list goes on and on, Jimmy Walker, you know, and they like bringing their wives into town and having good meals. And hey, you know, there's still a lot of caddies that, you know, I'm just going to say it, like to go out and party and have some drinks and do a lot of gambling and have a couple late nights or early, hopefully just early in the week. But it's always fun coming here. I used to love coming here and going down to the strip and gambling a little bit in my earlier years. But as I've gotten older, you know, as you know, I'm staying at the JW Marriott in Summerlin, right, basically right across the street from the golf course. So now I'm kind of getting away from the whole strip area. But it would be definitely sad to see this one go. Sanderson, I would expect some kind of a change or some kind of a jockeying of position, you know. But if you're telling me you're hearing that the Shriners is going to a spring event, well, that's actually yes, we would be going to Houston, but if it's for the Shriners, that's actually an upgrade for them because they've always set in the fall schedule, and historically fall schedule events don't get the respect as regular,
yeah, that's,
you know,
true,
regular season events, so to speak. So yeah, so, and just a real quick rundown on my week, you know, third, we missed the cut by a shot, but I was telling you, and I had my guy laughing after, you know, you miss the cut by a shot, it's painful, but we got off to a very slow start on Thursday. We missed a few greens right off the bat and didn't drive it very good. And then we kind of, you know, we kind of made a birdie on a par five, and then he hit a little run where he hit 13, 14 greens in a row. And then he got, you know, we had two holes to play. On Thursday, we finished on the front side on eight, you know, he hits one down the middle. He pulls a wedge long left, makes bogey, gets out of there. On nine, he drives it into the rough. We're even par, hits a sand wedge out of there, you know, like 20 feet, putts it like 12 feet by, which was unbelievable because, you know, he had been putting so well, and he makes a bogey. And the next thing you know, in 30 minutes on a golf course where guys are, you know, where you know the cut's going to be 4, 5, or 6 under, you're one over, and you're like, God, we really got to play. I hope he really shows up and plays. And when he showed up on Friday, it was like Napa all over again. You know, he's 5 under. You saw the run he hit. He made 4 in a row. He's 5 under right off the bat. We turn at 4 under. He's got all the momentum in the world. And I'm thinking to myself at this point, I'm not even thinking about the cut line. You know, I'm thinking this fucker's going to get to 7 or 8 under and he's going to put himself into contention. And after Napa, he's going to know how to deal with that scenario. So I was pretty excited about that. And then, you know, and then golf sneaks up on you on number 11's a hittable par five. And we drove in the left right behind some trees. We had a 7 iron up and over, just a great shot, and didn't make the putt for birdie. Drives it in the left drop. Might have outsmarted himself on 12. He decided to hit 3 wood. It's super tight, and there's a pond on the left on the approach. And it always backfires when guys are like, oh, I need to hit this fairway. I'm going to hit a 3 wood, right? Fuck. You've got a better chance of probably hitting him, for instance, because driving is one of his strengths, as you saw today. You know, he decides to hit 3 wood. He hits it in the rough. We play a little chess out there. He hits it in a right bunker, pretty easy bunker shot. He doesn't complete that. And then he goes to 13. Now we're 3 under, and you know the cut's going to be 5. So now you're like, fuck, we got to make some birdies coming in. But we do know there's very many birdies out there. And then that little hole I told you on 13, it's an 8 iron. He hits just a bad swing for the day, makes bogey there. Now suddenly you're 2 under. Now you're like, okay, we got 5 holes to go, and we've got to make 3 birdies, and we're playing with Kelly Kraft and Davis Thompson. And Davis Thompson got off to a great start on Thursday, shot 5 or 6 under. Kelly was kind of not playing great, but he got around in a couple under on Thursday. And we were all playing so good early in the round. Nobody was playing as good as my guy, but there was a lot of momentum in the group when everybody's playing good that you kind of feed off of each other and the vibes, and there's a little small talk and everybody's feeling great. And you know, we made a couple bogeys. They were starting to make bogeys. And on four, we got to 14, the par five, and we're 2 under. I'm like, shit, we got to make 3 birdies. And there's no juju in the group. And we drive it in the left rough. It's funny that I could tell you, we drive one in the left rough. We're pinned behind a tree, and we have 230 meters to the hole. And it's a half sitting down in Bermuda. And my guy can sting a 5 wood out of that and chase it up into the front left bunker like an unbelievable golf shot. But yet, fucking 10 minutes ago, he hit a flare with an 8 iron on a par three. Golf is just amazing.
It's a crazy sport.
So we get it up into this bunker where I know we're going to make birdie, but Kelly Kraft has hit a shot that he's like 40 yards short, and he hoops it for an eagle, right? And it like changes all the electricity and all of the momentum in the group. And I ever even said to Kelly, I'm like, thank God. So you just changed the momentum for this group. And my guy got up to his bunker shot, and I started thinking to myself, and I go, my guy is gonna hoop it right on top of Kelly for eagle, right out of this bunker. And oh my God, it's right in the middle, just trickling, and it finds a way to just hula hoop out and come right back out of them. But we make birdie and get to three under, and then we birdie the next one, which you should, the drivable hole. We're four under. So now we're one off the cut line. So now I'm like, here we go again. Maybe we're going to birdie out, you know, and 16's the best hole in the course. And he pulls one into the swamp left. You know, we got a drop and he hits a sick eight iron underneath the tree to like 20 feet, a must make par putt. And he steps it in and he buries it. And here's why I didn't get it. Here's why I told him I was so excited. I wasn't so excited that he missed the cut, but I was so excited with what I saw. This young man had to make that par putt on 16, right? He basically had to birdie 14, 15, which he did, bury a 20 footer for par on 16. On 17, he stripes it down the middle, hits it to like 15 feet under pressure, you know, and misses the putt a little bit low. And then on 18, it's a must make birdie, right? And he pumps it down the middle under pressure and he hits a little 9-iron up there to probably, I don't know, what was that putt, 9 feet, 10 feet? And I'm like, I'm standing on the green and Davis Thompson's next to me and he goes, I hope he makes it. And I go, well, not as much as I do, you know? And he caught the left edge, but he was like, oh my God, we missed a cut by a shot. And I'm all smiles. He's like, why are you smiling? I'm like, dude, you played so good today. You know, that was such, we've talked with James Hahn and Matt Every and other guys on here that when you are battling like that on a Friday, Matt, and you hit the shots under pressure, even if it doesn't work out, it's such a rush to be involved with it. It was like we were trying to win Napa or something just to advance to the weekend. So I was totally stoked, and I was, more than anything else, he showed me what he's made of under pressure, that he's going to hit these shots. And those were wedges that he stuffed in there when he had to. And, you know, I'm telling you, this wedge game is turning into a strength. But it was something that I couldn't really get out of town and get to Vegas early or go home because with the, you know, prices of hotel rooms or flights and that kind of stuff. So I had to sit around and watch football and golf all weekend in Jackson. And, you know, but I wasn't bummed at all. And that just leads us right into this week. So there's a Bobby Brown rundown on
Jackson. Man, absolutely dominated Sanderson Farms recap right there. All right. Love that, Bobby. Absolutely love that out of you.
AKA the tournament.
Yeah, the tournament nobody wanted to win, and it turned into a classic five pole that every head pro in America hates. Yeah. So you you got that going for you. Now yes, everybody wants to play a five pole. Let's transition over to, actually, hang on 1 second, because Luke List, give us a quick rundown on him. Because that's his first win in a while.
No. What else did he win? He won a pretty big tournament.
Last year?
I'm at a loss for what he won. I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But I'll tell you the rundown on Luke List. He's probably one of the top three or four longest guys out here, and he has been for a long, long time. I could give you some really honest insight into Luke List, but he doesn't deserve that. Let's put it that way. But he is a tough bag. I will say that. He is an extremely tough bag to work for, and he has run through a lot of good caddies before. And he's got a European caddy named Danny working for him, which is, you know, I love the European tour caddies. They just have the best senses of humor and they're loosey goosey and they have fun out there until Thursday rolls around and they're all business like everybody else. But, you know, Luke List has got a boatload of talent. And even with two wins, you know, I'm going to say, you know, and, you know, not that he would hear this, but to me, he's an underachiever right now with all the talent and everything that he has. To hit the golf ball that far and to make that sound, and I know he's struggled with putting in the past, like a lot of people have. Putting's not easy. You know, I think he's an underachiever. But I think the way that he did that I feel like maybe this is going to be like, man, I just won for the second time on the PGA Tour. It's time for me to step it up. But he's got to be in his mid-30s, 35 or 36, something like that. But he's been a thoroughbred for a long, long time. He just gets really worked up and really fucking pissed out there where he hurts himself, you know, where he is been known as a caddy blamer in the past, you know, and I haven't heard any horror stories that he's gone to Danny with or anything like that, because I think Danny's experienced enough where he won't sit. You know, you got a taste of the caddy room today. You know, everybody's in there chit-chatting. It's not happening at 6 in the morning, but we're all in there talking and shooting the shit. And a lot of things come out, and there's a lot of
this afternoon there was some. I heard some when you walked away for a little bit. You know, guys in there that didn't have a bag for the week.
Yeah, that's Heath Hole. That's Michael Kim's caddy behind us, Heath Hole, and Danny Stout, Scott Piercy's. That's standard for Heath Hole, though. He's always telling you, and he dumped his chip, and I'm like, where are you going with that? And he runs it over the green, but that's, you know, that's kind of stuff that and he's a good experienced caddy, but that's the kind of stuff that Luke Litz caddy Danny wouldn't be part of, right? He's not going to bring some laundry in there about how Luke called him a stupid motherfucker. I'm not saying it's not a quote or anything, or you stupid fucker, how'd you let me hit that club? Or can you read a green right? Or that went left? Or, you know, are you with me? I feel like I'm all alone out here, or something like that. That's where an experienced caddy like that is not going to bring his dirty laundry in where there's 30 other caddies sitting around. For obvious reasons, it creates negativity, you know, and honestly, it's an APB for, there's some sneaky caddies in there, man. You can't tell, but it puts an APB out on other caddies overhearing something like that and putting a few words in somebody's ear that's going to get back to that player, you know, submarine drivers, we call it, trying to get under somebody. So, you know, I think Danny is experienced enough that whatever Luke has to say, it's probably, it may sound very personal, you know, but it isn't very personal. And, you know, I look for Luke List to continue doing this. I mean, he's a Wyndham Clark style.
Yeah, it does kind of remind me of Wyndham a little bit with the distance. And I mean, great ball striker. But yeah, it kind of comes down to, I mean, you're not wrong. It comes down to putting. You got to be able to put the ball in the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be able to putt and you got to be able to chip. So we'll see where this takes. You know, we'll see where this takes Luke now. I mean, they moved up into a spot where they're just two or three behind us. We're the bubble boy at 60 for what a lot of us are playing for. So, you know, guys, when they win, they usually are played. They, you know, they fall into that category. I've said it 100 million times on this show. You know, a lot of guys make 60-70% of their money in that 2 or 3 week run. And maybe this is the start of a Luke List run. You know, I mean, I personally don't need him to play good and pass us, but if it would happen, it would happen to happen. But he's one of those guys you can sit out there on the range when he's warming up next to you and you're like, fuck, fuck, man, that sounds really, really good. Not, you know, you saw it this morning, all those guys hit it really, really good. But there's some others that the golf ball coming off of those irons just sounds totally different.
There's some different levels on that driving range, Bobby. There's definitely some different sounds. There's some different ball directions. I mean, you watch some of the guys and you start to realize real quick that there's different levels of ball strikers on that driving range.
Yeah. Well, definitely there's different levels of ball strikers, but they are all on the PGA Tour and they all have the game to do something. Most of them have the game to do some damage out here. Not all of them. I mean, I won't mention any names, but you probably didn't even recognize the two guys. I think the Latino guys warming up behind us there. You know, I'm not going to mention their names, but that's
especially
that's
after what I just said,
where you're like, oh, the dude made it to the PGA Tour. That's an achievement right there. But when you're well back up 200 and you've been in, you know, on the points list and you've been in 25 events, I don't know if that just means you're having a bad year or not, but there's certainly a big adjustment period for young players out here. And, you know, not everybody's a superstar coming out of college or coming off of the Korn Ferry Tour. But with that being said, there's guys that come off the Korn Ferry Tour that are mid-pack players on the Korn Ferry Tour that come out here and win golf tournaments right off the bat. And that's the beautiful thing about being associated with the best players in the world. You never know what you're going to get. And that's the beautiful thing about my job in our game, right? Is any day could be your day, right? Any week out here, when everything lines up, any week it can happen. And all of these guys have the game to win on any week. Some just happen to do things better than others. So we'll see what this week plays out.
That we will. Is it time? It's time for Live Golf Jetta.
It's allowed.
Live.
But louder. Did you hear the news?
Go for
it.
The
news? They shut them down for a world. They shut them down. It just broke a few hours ago. They shut them down.
Yeah,
for world rankings.
I did see that.
Live.
That is not surprising.
They shut them down for world rankings. So that's, you know, no, that's not surprising at all. But I loved what Peter Dawson said, the head of the RNA. He's like, this is not a personal battle with Live or anything like that. I mean, he said it. He said there's obvious players out there that deserve world ranking points and that are some of the best players in the world. But with this closed shop kind of mentality, they have to, you know, you can't the bottom line is you can't play, not have a not qualifying process to get onto the tour and not play 72 holes pretty much nine times out of 10 to qualify. And if they, and he told them if they leave the door open, then they tweak kind of things. This is something that we are obviously going to, you know, we're going to revisit. But he made a very good point too, that, that having a qualifying process to get to the LIV Tour, you know, is something that they really need to address, because there's thousands of other guys, you know, playing on different tours that had to qualify for those tours. So I feel like that's a big thing they're looking at. I am sure that they're going to get to the, you know, where people are going to bring up the point, why don't you do it for the top two players or the top five players? Because, you know, all those LIV players really want to do is play in the majors anyway. It's the ones that are, the ones that are good enough to play in the majors, you know, so to speak. I mean, you can't tell me that Dustin Johnson is where he is in the world ranking. So obviously it is a semi-flawed system, but, you know, that is a, that's a big hit.
Oh,
that's,
it's a huge hit. Yeah, man. But well, and then, of course, obviously with the politics and everything of what's going on right now with Israel and with the Palestinians and Saudis on one side, PGA Tours on the other. And that is not going to help with negotiations. Yeah. That's for damn sure. Or with public opinion, which has already been a little bit jaded. But I don't want to get too much into that with the politics and everything of it. Just know that everybody listening that, you know, PGA Tour took a stance one way, Saudis went the other way, and that's going to lead to some tough negotiations moving forward. But that being said, I have to agree with you. I liked what he said in regards to the fact that the format, too, of being 54 holes when everybody else is playing four rounds doesn't really help that either. I mean, there's a lot of flaws within the fact. I did hear that, and when I say flaws, I'm talking about with LIV Golf, of being able to be a format that could earn world golf ranking points. But there was one golf influencer, Eric Anderslang, who said, why don't you create something like the college football rankings? And I'm like, ha, that is probably one of the most flawed systems out there in terms of sports, of being like, I mean, you have a panel that's basically just eyeballing it and going, yeah, we think this team's better than that team. I don't think that works in golf.
Well, you know, Eric Vanderslang, you know my opinion on guys like Eric Vanderslang and these, you know, influencers and that kind of stuff. If you, you know, these influencers, if they can talk, they're going to have an opinion. And that just goes right back into that thing that that I generally don't like, that, you know, somebody on the outside that thinks that they has this ingenious idea that all these guys that have been working in the golf business, Peter Dawson, Jay, all these big men in golf, I mean, they're pretty intelligent, well-educated guys that have been around for a long time. They make pretty good decisions, you know, so it is what it is. We'll see how it goes. But this is obviously a big week for, you know, a few play for a lot of players, you know, on LIV, because this is the final single season, regular season event, I guess, is the way I want to say it. So we're obviously going to have an individual champion. We have, you know, Taylor Gooch, who came out of the gates screeching, winning a couple times real quick. We have Bryson, who's gotten super hot lately, you know, who's won twice. You know, Dustin's won once. Anybody else won twice out there? Are they the only two that have won
Cam
twice?
Cam Smith.
I think so.
Cam's won twice,
right? Yeah. And Cam's won twice? Yeah, and Cam's won twice. So look, there's three guys that have won half the events. And, you know, you put Dustin in there, there's seven out of 12 events.
Well, here's the thing. So Cam Smith is winning right now.
Yeah.
So Cam Smith is actually, hang on a second. Oh, no. LIV Golf. Oh, they don't have it updated. Wait a second.
Well, that's a surprise with that high dollar.
The last tournament was Chicago, right? Oh, you know what? They've got it mixed up, because originally, remember, they were going to go to Miami first, and then they were going to go to Jeddah as the final championship, and they switched it. So they haven't switched it on the website yet. So that being said, I mean, come on, web developer.
Another reason why they shouldn't be a world. Another reason why they shouldn't.
Exactly. Now, looking at this,
little things like that.
We've got Cam Smith is in the lead right now, still as the individual at 170 points. You got Taylor Gooch in second with 162, and you've got Bryson DeChambeau with 146. Those are the only three guys that can win the individual title.
They can do it, right?
Everybody else is out of it.
Right. So, yeah, everybody else is out of it.
Three-man race.
So, you know, that's – yeah, it's – well, you know, you can't really say it's a three-man race because, you know, you're like me. You know, it's usually like a 8 to 12 man race out there, really, isn't it? I mean, there's
to win the individual championship.
To win the individual title. Yeah, it's a 3-man race for that. Yeah, you're 100% right on that.
No.
I thought you meant in general. I was
just for the teams. From the teams, the individuals.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I do have a proposition for you. Would you like me to pick first, and would you like to switch up the format from the worst player to who's going to win the individual title? But I would get first pick.
Yeah.
You want to switch that up? All right.
Yes. Could I be on that?
This is your chance to get back your guy.
Fuck yeah.
Seawalking.
No shit. Yeah.
I am going to go with Cameron Smith. Which leaves you with either Taylor Gooch or Bryson.
And then I am. Oh my God, you put me in a bad spot.
Why I wanted to do it.
God.
Oh, you got baited.
I can't pick Bryson. I want to pick Bryson. You know, on paper, you got to pick Bryson, right? But I'm fucking such a dick. You know, he's such a dick.
Wait, have you found the Instagram video that I told you about where they play the dramatic music with him with the rope? Oh my God!
I'm busy doing a very important podcast. I'm going to check that out as soon as we're done here in a couple minutes. But I'm going to have to pick Taylor Gooch just because Bryson's such a dick, and I know Taylor when he gets hot, and the fact that I know his caddy really well, Mal, and I root for him all the time. So I'll go ahead and take Taylor.
All right. Taylor Gooch. For the individuals. You still want to do the teams as last place?
So what do I get next? What do I get? What's the next
team
that I get? Who finishes last?
Yeah, team last.
Team last? Yeah.
Who do you want?
Who am I going
to except go you tech
well, I'm going to go
you
with
know
C1.
You technically don't. All right, fine.
Siwon Kim's team.
You get to go with Siwon Kim. I'll let you have Iron Heads this week. Even though because I kept winning Iron individual Heads and team, and technically I got first pick on both, but that's okay. I'm going to let you have them. Because I'm going to switch it up.
No, you didn't let me have them. You didn't let me have them. Put in a new bet, okay? You didn't.
I'm going to go with the Cleeks this week for last place.
So,
which I have won with them before.
You go with the Cleeks. Oh well, I know, Matt. There's no dispute. You are our resident live expert
at picking the worst players and teams.
You buried me this year. Yes, I know. I used to have that title for for two short weeks, but now you have overcome it.
Bobby, I might, before I go to the airport tomorrow, I might stop into a sports book and see if they will take a bet on the last place player or the last place team.
Yeah. You should try and do that. You kill them.
I would make a fortune.
With all the money you're going to. All right, who do you have in the worst? Mm. We're doing the worst player bet.
Well, you know who I got. I got Siwon.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do I keep missing that can?
You want me to list off the last place players?
Who do I keep? Start from the. I'm going to pick Chase Koepka.
Yeah, 48th. 48th out of 50.
Yeah.
Siwon Kim is 50.
Yeah, there you go. I'll pick Chase Koepka. Yeah, no, what a surprise. He hasn't got 1 point.
Oh,
year,
that's
bro.
Great. I mean, he is consistent.
Yeah,
you got to give him credit for that, though.
Yeah. Well, I hope he enjoys his last.
How many people do you think are going to be? We should do an over under of 5,000 people at Jeddah this week.
Well, I think our over and under was 200 people last
year. And it was definitely under. It was definitely under.
No, it's definitely
Same. We can't bet on that. Yeah, we can just talk about it.
Yeah, we can't bet on that. The live guys, the live guys lie about how many people.
They embellish everything. That's what drove me nuts. That's why I couldn't defend them.
Yeah.
At a point, it became so overwhelmingly just over the top of embellishing everything. We're the greatest golf league on the planet. We are. Yeah. We have all these views. We have all this fan base. We have the best players in the world. It's like you've got some guys that are like formerly, and some of the guys that like that can play. Yeah, but so, I mean, the best guys in the world play on the PGA Tour. That's how it is.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's official. It's official.
That wraps it up, Bobby. Well, live from Las Vegas.
It's. We spent a lot of time
together. I'm going to miss you too.
Well, we're going to have to figure out, we're going to have to talk here in the next couple of days before I go to Japan, whether you're going to do a filler episode or whether we're going to coordinate our times or whatever, but that'll happen in the future. So everybody, if I'm not on the, if I'm not on next week,
Bobby, I'll have a week of depression if that happens.
You'll get through it. You made it through.